Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekdays from 5:30.
Monday morning, it's 1st of June. Catch Up Podcast. Mardo, Margo and Nick Cody. How did you lose your keys and what did it cost you? What are you going to do now that Queensland's travel restrictions are lifted within the state? And how do you justify your spending to your partner? We also caught up with Tim Avia, who's in the middle of the chaos in Minneapolis in the United States. Nick's back on social media. It's a big day.
If I was looking for a podcast to listen to, I'd go, shoo, that sounds pretty good.
There's a lot coming up. Anything didn't make the show, we just want to cover off here in the safety of the podcast intro.
I think we covered it all, but I'm actually scared to go home, guys, because I've been getting some aggressive text messages from Corey. I may or may not have failed to tell him that school photos were on this morning.
What does that mean?
The kids have to be at school before 8 o'clock and at 7:30.
Oh, no.
I got a text message from him saying, kids need to be at school at 8 a.m. WTF. He was not happy.
Oh.
Every kid across their life, like across their school life, you've always got to have one shitty school photo set.
No.
Like I had one in grade 3. I had the flu and I never missed school. And I just pushed ahead, went to school anyway. Hey. And the look on my face on those school photos, no good.
What about this year? You know how sometimes they'd allow a kid who wasn't there, they'd put a little inset in top,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So this year with coronavirus, they've been home for 10 or 11 weeks. Just have the whole thing
the whole
spread out,
like
just
that.
Inset
like
everywhere.
A patchwork photo.
Yeah, either way, like a Zoom conference.
We might have to get an update on how that ends up going today, how the photos were looking on tomorrow's live show. But for now, enjoy the podcast.
Get The Big Breakfast. Rise and shine. With Marto, Margo and Nick Cody.
We're about to go to Tim Avia, who's over in Minneapolis in those riots. But let's not forget Brisbane. We had our own problems yesterday morning out my way, the northwest. Evenden Hills was shut down this street was shut down just off South Pine Road for about 7 hours.
I saw that, Marto. What was happening?
Well, there was some, he looked a bit icy. I hope he doesn't sue me if it doesn't come true, but gee, he looked a bit loose.
Twitchy.
Him and some sort of an accomplice. It was very loose. They were trying to break into places, scratching around trying to get an easy one. But he was 45 years of age and the woman with him was 26. And then they got into a garage, one house's garage, and locked themselves in there. And then he said, oh, I've got a hostage. It was all very strange. You know what I mean?
So was the hostage his accomplice or the...
It would appear that's how it started and then it turned and then... They were the cops were negotiating. You know, my thoughts on this is just get in there and get them. Anyway, they negotiated for 7 hours and he made a few demands and it went backwards and forwards. Here's a couple of the neighbours and they did try to break into these people's house.
Yeah, there was definitely a knife involved. They definitely asked him to put it down a lot of times.
So I heard someone fiddling with my side gate. I just sort of stuck my head out the window and yelled at him and he took off and then jumped over the neighbour's fence.
Righto. So apparently he was yelling out.
Do we have any of those guns that they have in America, just the rubber bullet ones? Maybe we should have skirmish guns because they leave quite a wound. Mm-hmm. Maybe we could just hit them with that and then it's non-lethal. It's not going to kill anybody,
He was inside the garage and I figure it means he had the keys to their family's car because they put stingers outside the garage door. So if he would have zoomed out, they were going to get him anyway.
Gel blasters, all maybe. Right.
But he was obviously getting thirsty and his addiction was getting the better of him. And just have a look for what, like some of them, you know, want money, they want all sorts of demands when you've got a hostage situation.
Yeah, I need 10 million in unmarked bills and a jet to take me to Panama.
And a chopper. You
know? All right. Here's one of these neighbours who was listening closely to the demand.
They kept on saying, we held up our end of the bargain and got you some juice and a cigarette. And he kept on sparking back that it was a menthol cigarette.
Got in the wrong type of turret.
Who smokes menthols anymore? Jesus.
Never you mind. I remember my wife used to, and there's a homeless guy who came up one day and said, you got a tinky? He gave one of those, and he knocked it back. He said, no, I don't like
that. You can have that back. It's a menthol.
All ended well there. No one was hurt.
No, all fine.
Big Breakfast, Triple M, Tim Avia. What's going on in America? We'll find out next.
Here are some of the sounds of America at the moment. But I think we all know the vision that's been coming through from Channel 9 has been unbelievable. And we've seen it night after night. It's probably into its sixth night now. And a man who's in the middle of it, he'll win awards for all this stuff that he's been doing in Minneapolis, is our great mate, Tim Avia, 9 News US reporter. Hello, Tim.
Hello, Marto. How are you?
You have lost your mind, mate. How's your fear levels, or are they now going? I saw you had a flak jacket on last night. How's things for you?
Yeah, not too bad. Look, yeah, the flak jacket's really a precaution, especially those rubber bullets. They're not going to kill you, but they will hurt. We've got a few dints in the side of our car from them, which have to be taken out by the body shop. But look, it's a really just a surreal situation. During the day, everything's fairly peaceful here now, but at night, it just turns into this mess. And everyone's seen the vision coming through of the burning buildings, the looting. And then last night, we saw that massive police crackdown where they brought in thousands of extra officers and armoured personnel carriers driving down the streets, Black Hawk helicopters overhead. Police weren't taking any chances. They shut down the highways, shut down the bridges. They made more than 100 arrests, confiscating AR-15 assault rifles off people. Oh, you know, there's you hear a lot of the gunshots around the suburbs. You know, it's just a really, really tense situation here. And just a massive divide between the police and these protest groups. And there's a lot of a criminal element too. People, troublemakers have been coming in from interstate just to stir it all up as well. So it's just a massive mess.
Yeah, Tim, that's what I wanted to ask. Obviously, you've got the crowd, the people against the police, but then are there groups within that large group of people that end up causing a lot of infighting? Has there been a lot of trouble within the protesting group?
Look, mostly not too much. We've seen a couple of skirmishes. There was one a couple of nights ago, they smashed open an ATM and they were trying to work out how to get the money out of it. They'd actually ripped the front off it, and then this massive guy... There's like an instruction manual inside the ATM. He's yelling at people how to Google it. And then our security guard goes, well, you've got to get out of here. They're starting to fight amongst each other over trying to get the money out. So it's just little hot spots like that can flare up. But the authorities have been saying, you know, why they've enacted so strictly this curfew is because a lot of these troublemakers and the looters are using the peaceful protesters as cover.
Yeah.
So, you know, the peaceful protests are out all night. These guys can blend in. And then all of a sudden, you know, a window smashed, people getting inside, they're pulling out screen TVs.
Yeah, they're just opportunists.
And then they set fire to the store.
Obviously, on the front line, we're seeing police force, military and the National Guard are now rolling out in the streets where these protests are happening. What are the authorities and the government saying on this?
You've got mixed messages. I mean, Donald Trump said this morning, he's attacking everyone on Twitter, attacking Democrat mayors for not doing enough. He's attacking the media, accusing them of being sort of the source of this anarchy and whipping up hate across the country. So you've got those messages. He will use this, no doubt, to try to divide the country. That is his political playbook in terms of galvanising his base ahead of the election. And you've got the other mayors and governors. You've got it's a mixture of people trying to plead for calm and also saying we are going to use force if this continues. Here in Minneapolis, they had a big press conference yesterday. They brought out every community leader and representatives from pretty much every minority group they could to try to plead for calm and just to express how much George Floyd would have hated what's going on. But you've just got that massive level of just different groups who have their different grievances and different reasons to be angry. And so it's hard to duplicate them all.
Hey, Tim, you were talking a couple of times about the rubber bullets being shot. Do you remember about 3 years ago when you were still in Brizzy that we, on behalf of all tradesmen, we took you out to that skirmish place and we shot you a few times?
Yes, I do remember.
Would it hurt more getting hit by those pellets or rubber bullets?
I'm going to rubber bullets. I've managed to stay away from the rubber bullets. But yeah, looking at the bruises, a lot of the protesters come up and show us their bruises from the rubber bullets. It's probably pretty much about the same, you'd have to say, in terms of like the massive welts. But looking at the dint at the side of our car from where it was hit by the rubber bullets, I would say my guess is that the rubber bullets are going to have a bit more of a sting to them.
Right. But, all right, thanks.
Hopefully I won't be able to tell you.
Hey, mate, keep fighting the good fight. You're doing some unbelievable work.
Tim Avia, Nine News, a US reporter, right in the middle of the action in the US. Thanks for taking the time, Tim.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Triple M's Big Breakfast. Weekday mornings from 5:30.
I'm so glad to see, Dave, you found your keys over the weekend because you'd lost them and your car was stuck up on a mountain.
Hold on. Tell the story as best as we can. What did you do? Go for a walk?
Went for a hike at Mount Glorious.
Yes.
While I was on the hike, lost my car keys.
And can we also state that it was a date? You were on a first date?
First date, yeah.
I can't believe you were hiking on a first date. If somebody took me on a hike for a first date, I'd be out of there. I'd swipe left.
It's a good place to have a chat. You're not face to face.
You're not looking at each
other. Yeah, it's less pressure. And less she's from Camp Mountain, so just sort of in that area.
No, let's not identify.
Sorry.
So you went up there, you went for a hike, you come back to your car, and somehow both of you had locked your sets of keys in the car. What happened?
I lost my car key. Her keys were in my car.
So there's two cars. I don't know. Did you think about smashing the window to get her keys out?
But her car was like off the mountain, so we would have had to get a taxi anyway.
Oh, Jesus.
So we got a taxi via her place back to her car.
I better get this clear. You've got one of the click ones.
Yep. Yeah, like not a just mobilizer.
Not the key that opens it up, a clicker one.
Yeah.
Dave also made the mistake of not being an RACQ member because he's just recently moved here Western Australia.
All right, hold on. Cost.
Yeah. So did you have to get it towed? Did you have to get RACQ out? What happened? How did you replace the key?
I had to do a lot of things. In total, it cost $738.
Jesus,
that's pretty good.
It's an expensive walk on a Sunday, though.
But yeah, I know. Did you get one?
Did I get one?
Anyway,
the hinge date or the key? No. Which one are you talking about?
Has there been a second date?
Because that's
quite a traumatic beginning to your relationship.
Did she suffer PTSD from it?
She was in great spirits the whole time, and I said, "I've got to make this up to you. I'll take you out
special.
To dinner."
So, and you have,
yeah.
Nice. Yep. That's great.
Have you boys ever lost a key to your car?
Oh, God, yeah.
Because I have, and on a Toyota Land Cruiser, it's about double the price of Dave's Subaru Impreza, $1,500.
Yeah. Is that Mr. Minute or going to the dealership?
That's the dealership.
Yeah, bugger the dealership. Yeah, give Mr. Minute a go, don't you reckon, Nick? Those
Why are the dealership such dogs about it?
Yeah.
You know what you're doing.
We should give them one of these, you reckon?
Oh, one of these.
Are you ready for it, Dave?
You mongrel dog.
Yeah.
Got to have your service done there. Yeah. Always double.
Always
if so Mr. Minute can do them for about 500, can't they, Nick? Because I've gone, listen, I've lost everything else. This is my last. I've only got one key for Kath's car, one for ours. Where do they bloody go?
I didn't even have a key because we'd already lost the spare. And then when we lost the main key, we didn't have one at all. And it was my only car that I had to get four children around.
Yeah, so my wife lost the key a couple of months ago for the Subaru. We've got two keys. But the weird thing is that it should just immobilise. So she reckons it was on the roof. She's driven off. It's just fallen off the roof.
Mm.
Yeah, we couldn't find it, so we called Subaru, and same thing as Dave. They wanted about $730.
What did you do?
We're just a one key family now.
Yeah.
But if you go to the little, the gadget, the Mr. Minutes inside shopping centres, I think
they're just,
a lot cheaper. My bloke, I didn't have time the other day because I thought I'm going to do it. I'm walking past there, I'm going to do it, and he said, "Yeah, because about $400."
They guarantee them.
No, there's no guarantees in life.
I want to know, how did you lose your keys and what did it cost? Because it can be bloody expensive. A girlfriend of mine lost her two sets of keys in the rubbish bin for some reason. I don't know how. $2,500, she reckons it cost her.
I drove an excavator last year overseas. They let me drive an excavator and I found it amazing that you actually needed a key. And I assume that's a lot more than $700.
Do planes have a key? Like if you've got to kick them in the guts?
You don't want to hear that, do you?
Let's have a whole chat.
How'd you lose them? What did it cost? Give us a call.
So my old car was like a 2004 Mazda 6 that had done pretty close to a quarter million Ks. So when the batteries went dead in the keys, I took it to like a Mr. Minute type place near me. And the guy said, "Yeah, we'll give you a new key. It only cost $40 in the end." Wow. But he came out and he said, "All right, this is what you have to do. Hop in the car, hit the horn, open the door, close it twice." It was like a video game code to program the key. Yeah. Which I guess if you know that, you can just do it to any car.
I used to have one of those, those camouflage army cars. I bought it from the army secondhand. They don't have keys because they're very trustworthy. You just had to push a button. Anyone could hop in and start it.
Oh, that's very modern. Wow. Do that now. You push the brake and push the start button.
I used to have a car that'd start with a 5-cent piece. I love those.
Alex from Capalabar. When did you lose your keys? How did you lose them and what did they cost?
We just lost Alex. We'll move on to Matt.
Matt from
Rochdale,
good morning.
Yeah, how are you?
Yeah, good. How did you lose your keys and did it cost you an arm and a leg to replace them?
It did cost an arm and a leg. I was in Norway working for a tour company, driving a bus.
All right.
And we're at a glacier and I snapped the keys. It was one and only key.
Was that because of how cold it was?
No, it was in my back pocket and I bent over.
She must have one hell of a strong ass.
And doing squats. Yeah.
What did it cost you, Matt?
€1,000.
Euros. Oh.
But the bus was stopped there and it was cold and you're at a glacier. How did you get it underway again?
I had to call a guy to come in. He came in, redid the key, and we got out of there.
God. Well done.
It didn't get out of it lightly, though. $2,000. What's that about? 1,000 euros? It's double, isn't it?
Check out
it, yeah, Australian dollars. Yeah.
Well, thanks, Matt. Check out Mitch from Salisbury. What happened with you, mate, key-wise?
I lost my second car's keys while I was at Queensland Raceway.
Willow
Your
Bank.
Second car's keys?
Yeah, I took my ute out there, so.
All right. So I take
my work car to work at 1 o'clock in the morning. And they come out and cut it and recutted it for $240 at 1 o'clock in the morning.
How'd you lose it, God, Mitch?
Jesus.
I just thought it fallen out of my pocket.
How come they only charge $200 in the middle of the night? That should be the initial call out fee before they do anything. How'd you get away with it?
$240. That was the fee.
That's brilliant. You've gone well.
I love that Mitch just carries a single key. Like, that's a type of person. Like, I've got a key ring and a front door key and a side door key and another fluffy
ball.
What
is it with chicks and too many friggin' keys?
Well, then you don't lose them because we've got those big handbags with 100 million things in them that is unnecessary and you can never find your key. So you've got to have, like, a fluffy ball or a key ring or something on it so when you're fluffing around in your bag not looking, you can just find it.
Yeah, but when Corey goes, and this is my beef with my wife, hers would be the size of my fist, her key ring, okay? Yeah. When I have to go to the shops,
it's just
you're a weirdo.
You carry that fluffy
It'll pull your shorts down. If you've got shorts on and there's not strong elastic and you put your wife's keys in your pocket, you are in trouble.
Dacked.
Hey, Benny. Ben. Ben.
Hello,
Ben from Thornlands. What happened with you with the keys? Was it to a car?
No, it was a set of master keys to a university. I was a contractor doing some work, and the cheapest quote to replace or to rekey all the doors was about $480,000.
Oh,
so Ben, hold on, we better backtrack. You lost the keys, the whole set of master keys.
Yeah, lost the set of master keys.
How many keys and doors are we talking, Ben?
A lot.
So $480,000.
Half a million.
Did Sorry cut it, or how did you go liability-wise?
I don't know. I didn't really hear too much about what happened after.
Lost your job.
And ironically, the university students are locked out until somebody from TAFE can come along and fix it for them.
Thanks, Ben.
Wake up with the Big Breakfast. Weekday mornings from 5:30.
104.5 Triple M.
Hey, if you didn't know, here's our premier opening up things a little early.
Today, I can announce that we will be opening up Queensland for Queenslanders.
Everyone clear on that? It's just us hanging around together in the bubble. Here's our, what is he, Deputy Prayer, the robot?
Whether that's the Gold Coast, the Sunny Coast, Cairns, the Whitsundays, now is the time to dust off your Queensland bucket list.
Jeez, he's an exciting character, that bloke, Stephen.
I'm excited. I'm excited.
I know you're excited, but I tell you what, because we're still in the bubble, Nick, you know, you're not allowed to go, no one else is allowed to come in here. This is a fair point the tourism operators are telling us.
Operators say traditionally only 10 to 20% of winter tourists are Queenslanders.
Our market at this time of year really is the New Zealanders and the Melbourne and Sydney people trying to escape the cold.
As a former Victorian, Nick, you understand, it is bloody cold down there, and this is when they all come up here, and we're not, it's good to have it open to us, but we're still not letting them in. And I know a lot of people don't want that to happen, and that's fair enough.
Do Queenslanders normally go away? Because New South Wales and go to like a Thredbo and Canberra, Perisher, places like that, and do skiing.
And why was all the bucket list places stuck to the coast? That's a bit wrong.
Where do you want
to
go?
You've always wanted to go to Cunnamulla or Longreach or Winton.
Now you can bloody
stand. It's bloody cold out there during winter mornings. Anyway, there was one other little bit tacked on the end, and I wanted one of these to open.
The changes are enough to make you want to throw a party. That's possible now too. The limits on gatherings increasing from 10 to 20.
Cinemas will be able to reopen also, but only to a maximum of 20 people.
Places of worship, including churches and mosques, will also be able to reopen, as will gyms.
gyms. That was me. That's what I've been waiting to open because I go a couple, two or three times a week and I'm getting old. And
you've been doing push-ups in here and rolling out on your roller.
That doesn't crank
stretching.
It. Anyway, what are you blokes looking forward to?
Well, I've organised 4 trips already, Marto, last night.
Sorry.
I heard
you
Anastasia
are the greatest
say, Queensland open.
Four trips. Well, we might as well go through them. What are they?
I texted all my caravan friends and said, where are we taking our caravans? Because now we can go caravanning and there's a group of us and we tend to go together. I text a few of my girlfriends and said, when are we planning a girls' weekend away? Text some couples and said, hey, let's do a couples' weekend away. Yeah. And so I'm I've planned a weekend for myself as well.
Nick and I are such simpletons. All I want to do is go to Moreton and I'm already going. There's a barge going Saturday morning, going over there for the weekend.
I like to have all the options open, Marto.
Where are you going?
I just wanted a choc top at the movies.
Yeah.
When she said the movies were open, I was like, are there even any movies to go and watch?
Well, let's ask everyone else. Is there something when you saw that last night, you went,
what are they
going to
do?
God,
what are we going to do? What's everyone? Last week we talked about what are they tonguing for.
I think it's. But now we've got a solid plan. We've got a solid plan and it's been brought forward. What are you going to do now? Jason from Kalanga, what are you going to be getting into straight away?
Mate, I'm taking the caravan out. Before Easter, we had the van all ready to go. Got stopped. So they've transferred that over to July and given us an extra 3 days. So we've got 8 days away there and another weekend in August up to Coolum. So looking forward to it, mate.
Jason, did you have somewhere booked for Easter? Because I know we did and they were kind enough to give us a credit.
That's what he's saying.
Yeah, so are you, you're going to head back to that same
Where were
place?
You going Easter?
Yeah, out to Esk, a little town called Esk. Friends booked that for us a while ago. Actually, I grew up in Esk, so I know the area pretty well.
Great
we
camping?
For 4 days. Yeah, you had the caravan going to Caravan Park.
On one of the lakes out there, the dams?
No, mate, in town itself.
Wow.
You can go to either Wivenhoe, Somerset, Lakes, drive up the Crow's Nest, do a few things. But we had 4 days, and they transferred it for us and then gave us an extra 3 days free.
Beautiful.
So we've got 8 days to go back to, which is what we're looking forward to.
Jace, that's you, and you're a relatively young man by the sound. But can you imagine the grey nomads who are ready to go north to get out of this cold weather? They'll be tonguing.
We were looking to go to Winton, Longreach, back around through Charters Towers to
Townsville,
and back down. We had that plan too, but that got sort of brushed, so maybe next year we'll go and do that trip. Yeah.
There's always a
caravan.
Next year.
I think there's another caravan coming up here, Margo.
Hugh from Beaudesert.
Hey, you'd be able to understand this one, Margo. I actually upgraded to glamping myself last year and I bought myself a JK Silverline Outback.
Hold on. Are you a JK ambassador?
That's
Let's
nice,
be up front.
That's a beautiful Margo. Caravan. The Silverline, that's the top of the range.
Do you know it? Oh, really?
Mm.
And unfortunately, I picked it up in October. I had a few extras done to it, and we haven't been able to travel because of the fires and then the floods and now the COVID.
Mm.
So now I think we'll be heading up north where it's warmer.
You sound like a grey nomad. Would I be you in that
this
category?
This looks amazing.
Have you got the silver line?
I want to become one. I am retired now. But,
Hold on, Nick, have you got a photo of one in front of you?
Dead set. I'm looking at photos on the JCO website. It of the Silver Line Caravan, if that's right here, it looks honestly better than half the hotels I stay in.
Yeah.
If you showed a photo of some of the places I've stayed versus the interior of this caravan,
aircon and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, aircon. I had the gas heating put in, the satellite dish,
toilet, shower.
God. Yeah, it's got everything, you name it. 3 TV points.
Well, we only had the Starcraft. We had the Starcraft Outback, which is the one under the Silver Line, which is what you've got. And I was jealous because they showed it to me when we first got it. Because Corey's a tight ass, we had to get the Starcraft, which was the one underneath.
Sounds very much like a JCO ad.
Yeah. It sounds like it's just cheaper to put wheels on your actual house and just drag that along.
I actually turned Alexa off because you can't have two women nagging at you.
All right, Huey. That's our big breakfast.
Triple M brought to you by Jayco.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
Guys, Friday night, it was a little bit chilly, but my wife and I and our son Charlie finally caught up with some mates. The parks are open. Get amongst it. They've been open for a little bit, but we decided to head down for a Friday night picnic, and it was an absolute belter. Now, by picnic, I hope you guys aren't thinking we prepared food.
A rug.
I was going to say Friday night picnic. Is that late? Picnics are normally through drinks. The day. Mm. Basket, some fruit, maybe some sandwiches cut up.
Friday night says drinks.
Drinks.
And neglect of children.
Yeah. Well, there was two
parenting.
Yes.
Two parents not drinking, two parents drinking. The friends that we caught up with, my friend Bree, she's currently pregnant, so she can't drink. I'm having the year off booze, as you all know, and I'm very bored. 7 months to go. Who's counting? Now, my wife and Bree's husband, Brett, were both drinking. Our kids were playing. We just had fish and chips.
Beautiful.
Fish and chips.
Did you have a table or a rug?
Rugs.
Well, nice one. Mm.
Yep. Kicking the footy, throwing That's balls good. Around, having a great time. One of the best bits about this picnic, though, was what I hadn't realised is that my 20-month-old son had yet to have a hot chip.
Oh, big moment.
You are depriving him of his youth, though. Like, no screens,
feeding
no
him correctly,
chips.
I know.
No.
Yeah. It's awful.
All the good parenting 101. You should write a manual for us bad parents.
There's a few seagulls would have been off the chips for a while, you know, because they wouldn't have had.
Wouldn't have been
any chips lying around for them.
Oh, yeah. They must be
poor seagulls.
Might someone think of the seagulls? Of the seagulls?
Sorry. Very rarely am I on the side of an ibis, but the poor ibis to not getting any scraps. Chips, it turned him. I've never seen myself. He almost started running. He started talking. Mm. Full sentence. Had a chip. Dad, these are the greatest things I've ever had. What are they called?
Why have you deprived me?
What a moment. Big breakfast. Triple M.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
Margo, you'll be far more excited by this than Mardo will. But this morning, June 1st, I've logged back on to social media. Had a month off.
I believe you lasted that long. I would have failed miserably. But did you get all the tags I tagged you in, Nick Cody?
Yeah, there was about 25 messages from you, Margo, across the month, even though every day I've told you how I've not been on social media.
I said, did you see that thing I tagged you in? He's like, Margo, I still don't. I'm like, still? What is wrong with you?
Can I just check, what was the reason? I can't remember why you went off it. Just experiment or just wanted to dry out?
Yeah, a little bit. Well, I don't have any tour dates until later in the year.
Yeah,
there's nothing to. I'm personally one of those people. I'm not putting up breakfast, so.
You're not content creating?
Definitely not content creating.
Not TikToking.
That's what this is. 3.5 hours a day we're content creating
right.
in here.
That's enough.
Don't have to do it outside of it. And I just thought, I'm looking at my phone a bit too much, you know, because I'm at home a lot more with my son, Charlie. I just figure, you know what? That's a way to keep me off the phone.
Admirable. What have you learned about yourself?
Nothing.
No.
Nothing.
I do miss mates. I've ended up calling mates a lot more.
Isn't that
which
nice?
Has actually been good.
Excellent.
Call
which
a few different mates.
Because nobody has time to talk on the phone for 20 minutes, half an hour.
Real
they?
Friends do.
No, I don't.
Not pretend Insta friends.
No, you've got friends for different times of day. So early in the morning, I'll call the dads, mates of mine that are dads, because I know they'll be up and about. Then from about 2 p.m., I'll call comedians. Like mates of mine who aren't working at the minute, but I know they've slept off a hangover.
Yeah.
And they would have they've woken up. They're feeling down about themselves. Mm. I can call them up. I've had 25 coffees by that point. I'll get them excited. There is a day ahead. There is going to be a future. But it was quite nice to log on.
Who do you ring at 3 a.m. when you wake up each morning? Like, do you go, so-and-so will still be up?
I've got mates over in the UK.
Yeah,
you can give them a call. If I wake up extra early, play a bit of midnight FIFA. See, there's always someone to chat to.
Yeah.
Right? But it was nice to log on after the month off social media and discover, besides, there must be something going on in the States that I don't know about. There's, I've missed nothing.
Oh. Well, there's been.
I haven't missed anything.
Well, you've missed lots.
Not really.
No, there's nothing.
Start of the NRL season. That's about
it. As in messages and tags and
what
all that stuff's
there. What people have been up to on the weekend and.
That's nothing.
Yeah, I chat to them.
Mm.
I'm starting to think I'm becoming like.
Social media is unnecessary.
I'm starting to become closer to Mardo. Like, I went for a massive bike ride on the weekend.
Mm.
I'm not on social media. Mm. I'm just a few rums away from Terry Towling Shorts.
It's all downhill from here, Nick Cody. Look into your future. This is what's in store for you.
Ironically, exciting. Something that would get me the most amount of likes is me drunk wearing Terry Towling Shorts,
that's
I reckon.
Right.
So
driving
I'm going to miss it.
Nick, are you back for good? Or you might take another break.
Oh, who knows?
As soon as he's back on stage, he's to promo.
Come to the light, baby.
Big Breakfast, Triple M.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
five questions, and only one person will make it to the finish line and receive the ultimate bounty. It's the Big Breakfast's last person standing.
Melanie from Logan Home, good morning.
Morning.
You are our first person for first last person standing this morning. Let's try and get you through to question number five, eh?
Yeah, we'll see how we go.
Let's do it.
Question one.
Melanie, tell me, who was elected as the first black president of South Africa?
Nelson Mandela.
Correct.
Well, question two.
What is the process that removes salt from seawater?
Mardo would love this one.
Boiling the water.
No, there's a technical term for it. Sorry, something. Mel. Mm. Matt from Acacia Ridge, do you know what it is?
That'd be evaporation, wouldn't it?
No. You've got to take
that's boiling the water, yeah, and then water turns into air condensation.
That's an occurrence. Mm. The process. What's it called? We used to have one down the Gold Coast, like the Tugan there.
Sean.
The plant.
Mm.
How are you guys?
Yeah, good morning. Do you know what the process is?
Desalinisation.
That's it.
Close enough.
Question three.
50-50 question. Who's older, Gus Gould or frozen microwavable meals?
Oh, it has to be Gus Gould.
It's not. He's old, but not older than David from Breckenridge. What?
Well, it's got to be the frozen meals, mate.
That's right. That must have been how. Is that when they invented
crook,
them?
How crook would frozen meals have been then?
The very first imagine. Frozen meals.
You should have seen it, Nick. I lived with a bloke share house when we were in late teens, early 20s, not far down the road, and he had one, and it was like from the 50s or 60s, and we had a Geiger counter, you know, the thing that measures uranium and stuff, and it registered. It was just wicked. We were cooking stuff in that.
We were talking about microwavable meals yesterday because my dad uses them at times, and he was really excited about one because he thought it was something in mash, and then he heated it up and ate it, and it was cauliflower rice, and he was very disappointed. He's like, what happened to just good old-fashioned mash?
Question four.
Oh, sorry, that's what we're doing, the quiz.
Which online retailer shares its name with the longest river in South America?
Amazon.
Well done, Dave. This is for the win.
Question five. David from Breckenridge. Colin Funky Miller represented Australia in which sport?
No, sorry, I don't know.
Sorry, David. We're sorry too.
He once played a test with blue hair, if I remember correctly. Funky Miller.
Michael from Kipper Ring's not going to be sorry. What's the answer?
Snowboarding.
No. Now I wish I didn't give that blue hair tip. It was
David from Boondall. Good morning.
David.
G'day, guys. How are you?
Good. Yeah, Collie Funkin.
Colin.
Collie.
Hold on.
I was going to say cauliflower, I think.
No, you were funking.
Colin.
You nearly funked that
I'm
up.
I'm done.
Funky Miller. Dave, do you remember what sport he played?
Wasn't it with a bat and a ball?
Yes, it could have.
Cricket.
There we go.
Winner!
Congratulations, David. Speaking of cricket, this is a great prize. You have won a six-month KO subscription now that footy's back, AFL's on the way, the Belarusian Soccer League is still on.
Table tennis.
David, footy's back. KO is the ticket to the best seat in your house. Congratulations.
Triple M.
Hey, last night on the news, again, they've done this to us before and done it for years, the NRL saying, oh, we might get a second Brisbane team. And there's a mob been going, the Brisbane Bombers. I reckon they've been going for 7 or 8 years and saying, we're ready to go. And we even broadcast a game about 5 or 6 years ago showing, yes, they are ready. They had a crowd came in, Storm played the Bulldogs down here at Suncorp, and we went, righto, good to go. But a series of NRL bosses, John Grant, Peter Beattie, have gone, no, we can't have another team. Mm. Well, now Peter Volandis has said, yes, we're in a good financial position signing these new broadcast deals. Let's bring in the second team, maybe in 2022. Is it pie in the sky or not? Let's ask the bloke who's head of the Brisbane Bombers bid team. That's Nick Livermore. How are you, mate?
Good morning, team. Thanks for having me on.
Now, I know there's three others. There's sort of an Ipswich corridor outfit. The Redcliffe Dolphins want to have a go, and East have dabbed in there late. But you guys have been serious about this. Where is it at? I'm almost sick of asking you every year, Nick. They tease you.
They do, but we've got the saviour of rugby league at the helm now. We've never had Peter Volandis, and I think all rugby league fans would have been thrilled Thursday night that the game was back. And Peter's proven when he says he's going to do something, it gets done. Yep. So I think this will be the time.
Hey, Nick, the simple fact is everyone should understand. So there's 16 teams now, and Channel 9 and Fox have paid for 8 games a weekend. If you get a 17th and 18th team, which is probably what they want, they get an extra game. It could be worth another $30, $40, $50 million to the code a year.
Having an extra game is invaluable. What you'll more likely see is they'll go to 17 teams, but yeah, you'll have the Broncos play on a Friday night, hopefully the Bombers on a Sunday. That drives the value up because you're getting more Brisbane fans watching twice a weekend rather than just once.
We got a question, Andrew. Andrew gave us a ring. Why can't the team be named after a suburb like Redcliffe or Rocklea or Ipswich or something like that?
It's an interesting question. When you understand the background of rugby league and you go back to the 1970s and 80s where we had Redcliffe and East and North and Ipswich and Wynnum.
Panthers.
As soon as we go into one area, we alienate the others. So, for example, Steve Johnson out of Ipswich, great Jets man, great growth through rugby league out in the Western Corridor. But you put a team there, what happens to the Redcliffe Dolphin fans? Are you going to get them jumping from the Dolphins and saying, well, I don't really support the Broncos, so now we'll go to the Jets? And that's why we launched the Bombers, to say, let's put a team in Brisbane, amalgamate some of the intra Super Cup fans that don't align themselves with the Broncos and can get behind another Brisbane team. And so we really want to unify rugby league rather than divide and pop something out in one corridor.
Nick, you've done all your research. Ours, just anecdotally, is 50% of rugby league fans love the Broncos here in Brisbane and 50% don't. You're looking to scoop up that 50, are you?
Absolutely. There's plenty of Warriors fans, Rabbitohs fans,
Parramatta.
Bulldogs fans.
Parramatta.
Absolutely. And look, there's plenty of people. I love the game. You know, I grew up going to Broncos games, and it's not about alienating Broncos fans, but what it will do, it will split households where mum's a Broncos fan, dad was a Rabbitohs, but now he's on board with the Bombers. And you'll see a state of origin atmosphere at least twice a year when the Broncos and Bombers go head-to-head. And that's just got to be great for the game and great for Caxton Street. And ultimately, yeah, we're going to see more young people coming through and playing the game, hopefully, as a result of having more heroes week in, week out at Suncorp Stadium.
Hey, Nick, it's been going for a few years, mate. I hope finally you get some resolution and it drops your way.
I appreciate your support. You guys have been a big part of the journey over the last 10 years, so let's continue it.
Nick Livermore, CEO of Brisbane Bombers, the NRL bid. It sounds like it might be happening in just over a year and a half.
Wake up with the Big Breakfast. Weekday mornings from 5:30.
104.5 Triple M.
I went for a facial on Friday, gentlemen. It was amazing. It was my first real, like, relaxing and pampering and indulgence since, obviously, all of the coronavirus. Mm. And, Marta, your first question to me was, how much does that cost you? Mm. And I said, well, she's got a deal on at the moment. And he said, hang on.
I'm not married to you. I just wanted to know the price. That's what Kat says when I ask her that question, and I expect that as an answer from my wife, but not from you.
And it got me thinking, I often do that to Corey in a way of justifying it before I tell him what
all right,
the price
let's
is.
Let's play some role play. You've just pulled up and you're opening up the car at home. Mm. Oh, what do you got there, Margo?
Well, he wouldn't ask me that because they'd be hiding in the boot and I would leave them in the boot.
Do you do that?
Until he
will
was
you
away.
Bring a couple of
and
things
then
out.
I would unpack them after he'd left.
But I often come out to the car to help Kath with any groceries or anything like that, thinking she may have brought something home and that's why she's been out.
There's hide them down in between the back seats and the back rest of my seat with like a jacket or something, you know. Like
that's gold.
Just kind of try and hide it. Mm. Or sometimes if I'm clever enough, I used to work in retail and I saw when they would sale things, they'd redline it with a red marker
and
put a new price on it. And so I would
you
just
don't
do
own
that.
A red pen,
I would carry a red pen in my handbag and sometimes I would sale stuff and then they had an extra 20% off all the sale prices. Babe, look, I got a really good deal.
Babe, if you throw babe in there, Nick, it also softens things up.
Yeah,
look
definitely.
At this.
But
is there another girl doing
I'm a
that?
Really bad lie. And so when Corey goes, oh, is that a new shirt? I'll be like, no, I've had this for ages.
This happens to me too.
I've had this in the cupboard. I just haven't worn it lately. That's
is
all.
Is there a course you girls do or something that we didn't notice? Like, how do you pull this off? Like, does every girl know these stories?
I'm actually going to let you in on a little secret because
yes,
it's
please.
Just been brought to my attention. When you purchase something online, some websites offer you a tick box that you can tick and it sends you the price that you want to tell your husband. husband that you paid for
no.
it. So they do, I say I paid $189.95 for an amazing dress or something, and I can tick a box to say, hey, I only spent $80 or something like that.
And, so and hope that he doesn't reconcile the account.
Yeah, because often I'll be like, no, I don't want a receipt because that's evidence.
So this is like your red pen, but it's online.
And they're doing it for me.
They're complicit in your fraudulent activities against your other half.
Or you just put down your work address as your delivery address and then it gets delivered to work and he's none the wiser. Because you end up with those packages at the door all the time.
Well, you end Corey's up with the like, packages oh, on your one. Desk yeah. because our desks are very close
like,
to each other.
It's for the kids, babe. It's not for me. I got new sheets or something, you know. They needed new jammies. It's cold. He's like, they've got 10 pairs. I'm like, Luch these ones are on sale.
Luch will order stuff online and I swear that our delivery guy is waiting by the door and he's like, is Charlie down for a nap? Awesome. Ding dong. So it's almost made me so angry about the delivery guy that I'm not angry about the thing that she's...
Do you have the same delivery guy? Because it appears Kath actually knows our delivery guy now.
He waves to me in the street. Yeah. He just knows now because sometimes he'll ring me and be like, hey, you're not home. And I'm like, no, I'm not, but would you mind just leaving it at the front door? And now
just drop the packages off?
Yeah. Boop, he said, I've left you an authorization. I've left you an authorization form to fill out. You just sign it. It means I can leave it for you there anytime. But I'm not the only one. I reckon there's women all over Brisbane or even men.
Yeah.
Do you justify your Bunnings purchases to your wife? No, you don't have to because why?
That is an outstanding point because that's necessary. We need those things to further our house. Like without that, the house would come apart if I didn't buy this item or these trees won't grow without this.
Hmm.
Essential, important.
That's how you justify. Exactly. Mm. I am not the only woman and you are not the only man justifying your purchases. I want to know. I used the red line. It was on sale and I got an extra 20% off. But how does your partner justify their spending to you?
That's great because it is blokes. Automotive gear like motorbikes and car stuff, they are so expensive.
He'll screenshot the bank statements online and just circle them and be like, what's this? What's this? What's this? What's I'm like, excuse me.
That's part of my account.
To spend whatever I want out of that one.
Do you think
your account? Who cares?
Would the sisterhood be a little angry or disappointed that you've given away some of the tips, or are they generally known?
I think they're generally known.
What was the first one when I said? What did you say?
I got it on sale or it was discounted?
No, when I asked you about the facial, how much does that cost?
Well, she had a deal, so it was like a micro and a mask for $60.
See, I stopped listening then.
Yeah,
and Mardo, maybe Margo has given away those tips, but we already know what was going to happen anyway, and we can't do anything about it.
No, it's too far.
Mm.
It's like, who's the Cowboys player? Jason Taumalolo? He's going to run it straight, but who's going to stop him?
It's like swimming your way out of a rip, you know. You just let it carry you along, get out the back, and then survive.
Jim from Caloundra, are you justifying purchases or your wife?
Well, actually, thinking about it, it's a bit of both, but what she's worked out is... If she takes me shopping or asks me about buying stuff online, I just go, no, can't afford it, no. And so she's worked out that if she just buys it and brings it home, I just go, well, you bought it now, so,
They say it's easier to ask for forgiveness than it is for permission, and that is what I run by in my whole entire life, including
that's not in the Bible,
being
is it?
On radio sometimes. I'm like, oh, did I say that? Sorry.
Turn the other cheek, retail-wise. Adam from Norman Park, what's your story, mate?
Oh, we've got a very good mate of ours who has got a red motorbike that is parked permanently at one of his mate's places and his missus still doesn't know about it.
Oh.
All right.
So when and how does he ride it? When does he drive over there to ride it?
He goes and visits his mates and on the weekend. So I think COVID's slowed it down a bit. Okay. But... before then, he'd just go over to his mate's place for a weekend and say, I'm going to go.
What about helmet head? Like, you know, when you take the helmet off, does he make sure he gets his hair straightened up again?
Oh, well, he's gone for a bike ride. If he might, I don't know. I don't know his excuses.
Adam, but, how long has he had this bike at said friend's house?
Oh, geez, it'll be
months, years.
10 years.
10 years.
Well played.
Unreal.
How did he get that purchase past her? Because I'm assuming a motorbike would be a couple of $1,000 at least.
Yeah, it's more than that, I think. It's a pretty nice bike.
Mm.
Pay cash.
Imagine hiring an investigator to look into your partner and you find out he's just cruising around on a Modi.
That's by himself.
That's just by himself.
What a loser. I'd break up with him just for that.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
Hey, it's Dave here. That's it for today's podcast. Brisbane, we will see you live tomorrow morning, depending on when you're listening to this. Monday through Friday, we're on live from 5:30 till 9. See you then.